We continue our scripture reading in the Gospel of Mark. Today we are in chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. You'll find this in your pew Bible on page 1068. Now, it's a fortuitous passage to read. It's one of the miracles of Jesus. And tonight I begin an evening sermon series on the miracles of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. And the miracle accounts are wonderful in accomplishing a number of things. For one, they give us a concentrated picture of the reign of sin. And here we have a very concentrated picture. This man, he's known in the other Gospels as the Gadarene demoniac. The region of the Gerasenes is the same as the region of the Gadarenes. And look at what Satan's done in this life. It's what he wants to do in your life. Here's a concentrated portrait. If we're going to fast forward what the reign of Satan and sin will do in your life, this man is less than a man. He has been destroyed. He is living a living death. That's why he hangs out at tombs. He's harmful to himself, dangerous to other people. He is living in torment. This is the reign of Satan. Don't we see this in our society? As we turn further and further away from God, things become more bestial and more deadly and unwholesome. Now, it's also fortuitous that we're reading this passage because I'm preaching right now through the armor of God and Paul's teaching on spiritual warfare. And I just want to observe that the demons are too strong for this man. And they are too strong for you. Now, I admit there's about 2,000 in him, so they were ganged up on him. But elsewhere, it takes only one. The Bible never says, okay, now you use your power against demons and against Satan. No, this is what happens. What we need is for a Savior to come who is mighty to save. And this passage shows the Lord Jesus coming, and it's almost comical. This is a legion of demons, and they don't even contemplate resistance. They subject themselves to him, and they plead. Notice they have pretty good Bible knowledge, and they do. Verse 7, Son of the Most High God, I adjure you by God, do not torment me. Now, how do they adjure him by God? In Luke's gospel, it's maybe a little clearer. What they're basically pointing out is we know the plan of redemption, and now's not the time when you throw us into the abyss. By the way, that time is coming, but they don't have the ability, because of their reprobate natures, they don't have the ability to repent, but they know at least it's not time, and so they ask him to send him into a herd of swine, and there's some pretty good symbolism. When your spirit's cast into a swine, that's not a good statement in ancient Judaism about your relationship with God. You are unclean, and off they go, symbolizing the future, they cast themselves into the abyss. Now, the passage ends sadly because people hear about this. And what they're concerned about is the loss of swine production. We've lost some livestock. Get rid of this guy. And they actually beg Jesus to leave. What a terrible irony. See, Satan's reign is not always as overt as that, isn't it? Satan reigns through materialism. Satan reigns through selfishness, through a worldliness that cares more about the price of bacon and the value of our livestock. Look, we have to make livings and all that, but the kingdom of God is more important. But look at the mercy that Jesus has at the end of the passage. The man who's been delivered, and what a beautiful picture it is. We read in verse 15, here's what Jesus wants to do for you. Not only set you free, but the man was sitting there at his feet, clothed and in his right mind. Jesus wants to bring you into a loving relationship with him where you become his disciples and you learn his word and he clothes you in his own righteousness and he restores to you a right man, right mind. And the former demoniac says, let me stay with you. And Jesus says, no, these people need a witness. And he sends him back to be a witness. He had saving mercy on him and through him and his witness, he had saving mercy to the world. Well, I'm looking forward to preaching this more fully. That'll be a few weeks from now. Let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he says, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs, was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs. Let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who'd been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.